Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, sponsored by Abundant Genealogy. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. As part of our Backstory Genealogy series, joining us again today is one of our favorite guests, genealogy expert, Thomas McKenty. Thomas McKenty is back with some excellent tips, advice, and first-hand expertise on the importance and challenges of preserving family history photos.
If you've got slides, negatives, that material deteriorates. Have you digitized that? And then even with that, I mean, I remember the old Kodak disc cameras. What are you going to do with those disc negatives? There are vendors that will digitize those still, but they're very few.
That, of course, is our guest today, Thomas McKenty. Thomas McKenty is a well-known genealogy instructor, leader, author, and sought-after public speaker on the subject of family history. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show Backstory Series via Skype, Thomas McKenty. Thomas McKenty, welcome back to the show.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
It's so good to talk to you always. I know Roots Tech is coming up. We've got a lot of things to kind of talk about. You and I are going to get a chance to spend a little time there. I just want to set the stage for that. But more importantly, I want to talk today about photos, photo sharing, photo saving, get this idea of preservation and safekeeping. But let's start at the start, Thomas McKenty. There's a term that my audience may not be entirely familiar with. The term is future-proofing, and I know you really have some ideas about that. So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about the concept of future-proofing.
Yeah, future-proofing is more of an information technology concept that I learned when I worked in the corporate world. But it actually, and it applies more, Paul, to than just technology. It could be sort of a life mantra as well. Future-proofing is when you make sure that whatever you're using, it's doesn't have to be the latest, greatest, and up to date. But the thing is, you don't want to work with some form of data storage or anything that's going to be outmoded. I'll give you an example. When VHS came out, it was VHS or Betamax. Well, you know that Sony just turned off Betamax about 2 years ago. It lasted for about 40 years. But no one has a Betamax player. I mean, if you did want one, you'd have to go to eBay and buy and pay a great price for it. So the thing is, where are you storing your stuff? Is it something that's going to be accessible 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Another example is my father-in-law has all these 3.5-inch floppy diskettes. Remember those?
I do.
And the thing is, you can't get a computer now with that built in. And the thing is, you have to buy an external one. It's going to come to the point where only third-party vendors will be able to convert that data for you, and you know they're going to charge a high price. So future-proofing is anticipating and staying on top of changes, mostly to technology. And again, like I said, I'm not the latest greatest. I am a .1 guy. I don't know if you know what that means. You know how you buy like a version 8.0 of the newest software?
Uh-huh.
Never buy the 0.0. Always buy the 0.1. Let someone else be a bug fixer for that company. You'll never see me out in front of the Apple store waiting for the new iPhone. I always have one model back because A, it's cheaper, and the bugs have been fixed. So that's what I mean by future proofing. So if you've got, we're going to talk a little bit more in detail. If you've got slides, negatives, that material deteriorates. Have you digitized that? And then even with that, I mean, I remember the old Kodak disc cameras. What are you going to do with those disc negatives?
Mm-hmm.
There are vendors that will digitize those still, but they're very few. The thing is, the more you put this off, the more difficult it's going to be to get access to that data, and it's going to be more expensive. That's what future-proofing is all about.
Good. And this is why we really need to talk to you, Thomas McKenty, because this idea of future-proofing, this concept of how to address it from a life perspective, applies to many of us who still have some of those 3.5-inch floppy disks. And we need to know, what about the photos that we want to preserve from a standpoint of safekeeping? Tell us now a little bit about the new and developing technology that isn't necessarily version 8, as you suggest, but still has some of those bugs worked out so that we can get past it and really make use of it.
Right. I think what we do is we start first with two approaches. Are you a DIY person, which is do it yourself? Do you feel comfortable scanning or digitizing or doing all of this yourself? Or B, do you want to work with a third-party vendor and send it out? Now, there's some problems with sending it out. I'm not always comfortable putting my home movies in a box, like a legacy box, and sending it off in the mail. What if something happens to it? Mm-hmm. This is why a lot of people are willing to buy pieces of technology, gadgets, and do it themselves. So you have to make that decision. Also, if you're not comfortable with the technology, you might want to send it out. There are also local places, too. You could go if you have Walmart, if you have Costco, a lot of these have, photo centers. Mm-hmm. So that's your first decision, Paul. And then the thing is, if you do feel comfortable, the technology is not, it's not that difficult, really. But there are many different ways out there to do. The thing is, here are the basics. You need a good flatbed scanner. Those are only $50 on Amazon. It's amazing. And by the way, not a plug for Amazon, but I'm a big Amazon supporter because they have a great liberal return policy. Be careful of some vendors. They charge a restocking fee, if you return something. So always read the terms of service before you buy something, especially a piece of technology. But with Amazon, if it's over $35, it's free shipping. And, so you can get a scanner for under $50, a good scanner that will scan at a higher resolution. There's also something called the FlipPal mobile scanner. Now, this is a neat, I call it a toy. I've had it for about 5 years. It's small. It's lightweight. It runs on batteries. Or here's even better, Paul. I can take it to a relative's house. And this is important because my relatives don't want to give me the photos. They don't feel comfortable with me taking them away. Mm-hmm. So we sit there and have a cup of tea or coffee. And we just sit there and have a scan session that afternoon. And you know what happens? Stories come out. As you do, you have to be prepared for this. That's when I started this with relatives, I wasn't prepared. So often I'll have the audio recorder on while we're scanning. Hmm. In a way, it's sort of like doing an interview because memories come back. I mean, photos are real touchstones in terms of, family memories. So the FlipPal is great. It also will scan larger images. I had a client where we scanned a queen size quilt and you scan it in pieces. Well, the quilt had names and dates sewn in. Hmm. It was basically a genealogy quilt. So, and this person was not willing to, send the quilt out. It was an heirloom. So we scanned it in 82 parts and the software stitches it together. And then we went to FedEx office and had them do a 4x5 foot print and it sits in this woman's office now.
Wow.
So the technology is amazing. It's accessible. If you have a smartphone, there are a few programs as well. One that I like is called Cam Scanner. And by the way, I'll have these resources available at my site, Abundant Genealogy,
right,
for people to access. But Cam Scanner is you can use your phone not only to scan photos, but guess what? You can also digitize documents. So it's really great. And then what we need to get to, Paul, of course, is data storage and backup. If you're going to put the effort into digitizing all of this, then what good is it if you haven't made preparations for backup or for good storage? And that comes down to an external hard drive. Those are down as low as $49 for 1 terabyte right now.
Wow.
You can use a cloud program like Dropbox or Box. There are many different ways, but also I'm a big fan of the 3-2-1 program for backing up. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Tell us what that is.
3-2-1 is this. You want to have at least 3 backups. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. I had a friend backed up to the laptop, and guess what? The laptop died, so the laptop's gone and the backup's gone. That's not smart. So 3 different backups. You want 2 different media, meaning if you're going to do an external hard drive, you also want to have it in the cloud because hard drives fail. And then number 1 is you always want to have one of those backups off-site. This could be in a cloud program, or it could be on a flash drive that maybe you put in a fire safe or a safety deposit box. Again, we have a lot of people backing up maybe to flash drive. they leave it right next to their computer that floods in the basement. So you're losing the computer and the backup. So 3-2-1 is really the basic formula that many companies even use. But from a personal archiving standpoint, you always want to have more than one backup.
In my mind's eye right now, Thomas McKendy, I'm thinking about that image of sitting at the table with a relative, going through the photos. It's such a great term that you use, photos as touchstones, and recording some of that. Because my audience, certainly the boomer community, they want to sift through possessions. They want to purge, maybe. They want to streamline. But you can't forget those photos.
What exactly?
So this is as much life advice as it is technology. So what do you want to say to some of those boomers who, you know, they might be interested in these stories, but we really can't forget about the photos.
Right. And I think it's you know, we had talked about a call to action or putting together an action plan. And I think that's basically what you need to do. You can't put this off. One of my great uncles died 3 years ago, and he was the last of that generation. And one of my biggest regrets is not being able to interview him more. This is a man that created the communication system for the Bay Area Rapid Transit in the 1960s. He was an amazing electrical engineer and a train enthusiast. And I just remember him so well. But the thing is, so there is a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. So that we go ahead and we do that. So I think, you know, you come up with, but you have to do something that you're comfortable with. Now, these smartphones are great too. You know, I fought the smartphones when they came out. I was a flip phone guy. I didn't see why I needed a camera or a recorder. But now I rely upon my recorder a lot on my iPhone when I sit there and talk to relatives. There are a lot of resources out there for interview questions, but sometimes it's just natural. You just sit there. I always ask for permission, Paul. I say, you know, do you feel comfortable with me interviewing you? Mm-hmm. I always let them know what I'm going to do with the information. And I usually transcribe it and send them a copy, which they love, you know? And so but the thing is, I think you've got to set up an action plan. It's like anything that you want to accomplish. You've got to have a plan together. So look at your available technology. Consider how comfortable you are with it. And then just go through bullet point or list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to digitize all these slides. There's a device out there called the Jumble, J-U-M-B-L, which is great. And it just scans slides. You know, you can scan all these slides, put them on your computer. And so then you decide, and part of it is, you talked about sorting and purging and sifting through, is you do have to take inventory of what you have. Mm-hmm. The other sense of urgency, and I can't stress this more, is these materials, especially home movies, slides, and negatives, they deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Also watch, if they meet each other in contact, slides and negatives and film, they don't do well when they touch each other, the different types. So then you're talking about recovery and restore, which is really expensive. So do it now.
Hey, this is Paul. Do not touch that dial. We'll be right back with genealogy expert Thomas McKenty with more of his family history, photo preserving resources, information, and expertise. And I hope you're enjoying today's show. Speaking of genealogy, as I mentioned, the Not Old Better Show Backstory Series is proudly sponsored by Abundant Genealogy. All the Not Old Better Show audience know what a genealogy fan I am, but dear audience, you may not yet be familiar with Abundant Genealogy. With the enjoyment I get from working on genealogy and family history, I found Abundant Genealogy to have all the resources I need. Not only can you just plain save money at Abundant Genealogy with DNA bargains, technology resources, the latest in genealogy-related technology and books, articles, and so much more, Abundant Genealogy is the ideal umbrella site that brings together all the things you need to know in order to discover more about your family history. Plus, if you're like me, you can check out the 15 Habits of Highly Frugal Genealogists by Thomas McKenty and save even more as you pursue the hunt for your roots. That's AbundantGenealogy.com. Check out AbundantGenealogy.com for more details and mention that you want to support the Not Old Better Show. Thanks. More good advice from Thomas McKenty joining us today via Skype. Thomas McKenty, this advice that you are giving us, certainly it's very relevant to the baby boomer generation. Some of us, some in my audience, certainly have been bit by the genealogy bug. And maybe we want to instill in kind of some of the younger generations a sense of urgency for family history. Tell us a little bit about what advice you're giving to younger generations about getting excited about this subject of family search and preserving photos and just getting involved with it.
Yeah, in the past few years, it's been kind of difficult to bring in the younger generation, but there are some ways of doing it. This is what I found. I mean, genealogy as a demographic tends to skew older, mm-hmm. 55 and over. 80% of us are females in the genealogy field. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, this is what I found that is really, this is when what I consider the younger generation enters into family history and genealogy, is for women, it's usually the first child. There's something about having the first baby and, you know, talking to parents about what it was like when I was born and before I was born, et cetera. So we're seeing an uptick there for women. And so that's also, and in general, you look at life events, weddings are perfect time. You know, pull out the old photo albums. My in-laws just had their 60th anniversary. Mm. And so that's great. For men, you know what? It's the military ancestor that really brings them in. If I can point out Korean conflict, Vietnam War, any of that, then they get hooked. They're really, really interested. And then finally, DNA is doing amazing things right now, Paul. It's that science geeky nerdy thing that a lot of millennials like. They like the mashup of data, so ethnicity maps, anything like that. And speaking of mashups, Google Maps, there are things that are going on with Google Maps. There's a site called What Was There. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's called whatwasthere.com. It's out of Ann Arbor. What is happening is they work with Google Street Maps. Now, you know Google Maps. You probably use them for directions, right?
Absolutely.
Well, what people are doing is they're taking old photos, uploading them to What Was There, and then they're laying them over the current Google map location, and you can run a fade bar and you can fade it from present to past. And it's absolutely amazing.
Wow.
So that's what the younger generation likes. We saw this when the 1940 census was released in 2012. You know, it's a 72-year-old period on the U.S. federal census. And so it was released April 2nd, 2012. And this is what we didn't anticipate. The millennials were looking and they were going to these apartment building listings and seeing who lived in their apartment in 1940. And then they were doing Google Map mashups based on the census. And it's amazing what these, I'm going to call them kids, do with data now that I never considered, you know, when I started out in the, you know, the 80s with the IBM PC. So I think that's what it is. You've got to talk to them on their terms. You've got to make it attractive for them. To be honest, the younger generation is not as tied to heirloom, unfortunately, and stuff. Mm. I've seen that said that, you know, your kids, baby boomers, your kids don't want your stuff. They're not interested. So maybe you need to cultivate that interest and you need to tell them why this is important. And so we're seeing a lot of that as well. Is that's why when I go to eBay, I see all these photos, family photos up for sale, or I go to flea markets and I'm wondering, why isn't someone keeping this heirloom? I mean, I'm sitting on my third great-grandmother's wedding silver from 1857, hand-forged in upstate New York. I could never consider not keeping that. But right now, my challenge, Paul, is who's going to take this after I leave? Who's going to be the flame keeper in a way? That family memory, because not only is it an heirloom, there's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Finding this mismatch, people are preserving things and they're not preserving the story behind it.
Fascinating. Good stuff. Thomas McKenty from Abundant Genealogy. Thomas, we know how busy you are. We know you're on your way to Roots Tech in several days. We're going to meet up with you there. We're going to tell more of these kinds of stories so that we can understand better all the resources that you provide at Abundant Genealogy, but all these wonderful tips and tricks that you have and just this great advice. Thomas McKenty, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
My thanks to our guest today, Thomas McKenty, who operates the Abundant Genealogy website with excellent resources, speaking engagements where you can hear and see Thomas live, books, and much more. Please check it out at abundantgenealogy.com. As usual, we'll post links to everything Thomas has talked about. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Check out our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.